Today we celebrate the patronal feast of our parish. So happy feast day to all of you. And being that this is the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, and this is our parish, you would think that we would be experts in the Holy Trinity. But there really is no such thing, because the Holy Trinity is an absolute mystery. And what that means is that the Trinity is a mystery that is beyond the ability of our minds to comprehend, not only in this life, but also in the next. Because the Trinity is such a mystery, many of us tend to think about it and say, well, fine, I believe that there's only one God, but I don't understand any of this, so it's just way out there. It's all distant from me. Quite the contrary, actually, is the truth. God is closer to you than you are to yourself. And not just God in general, the Holy Trinity is closer to you than you are to yourself. The reason for that we see in the readings today. If we go back and listen to the first reading, it's one of the most beautiful lines in all of sacred scripture, what we heard at the end of the reading. So we're talking about wisdom. This is from the book of Proverbs. And wisdom is talking about all the things that were done at the time of creation. Now we have to understand, when we look at it in this context, St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So Jesus is the incarnate wisdom. So we're talking here about the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And listen again to the last line of the first reading. I found delight in the human race. We're talking about God. What have we done to give him a whole lot of delight? Not much. We've done an awful lot to offend him, but we haven't done a whole lot to give him delight. But that's because the delight isn't in what we give him. His delight is in us. Because he made us in his own image and likeness, he made us to love. And that's what he wants. He made us for the truth, because the truth will set us free. And that's what he wants for us. He made us to live forever. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So God wants us to have the fullness of life, the fullness of truth, the fullness of love. But he is the fullness of life and truth and love. That's what he wants. He wants each one of us to have him. So he is not out there somewhere. He is not distant from us at all. In fact, as astounding as it is to think that our Lord took delight in the human race, so much so that he actually became one of us. But it goes even further than that. St. Paul in the second reading tells us that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. But when we read in the first letter of St. John about God, St. John doesn't say God loves. He said God is love. Just that simple. God is love. So if that's the case, and the love of God has been poured into our hearts, that's God himself. The love of God and God are one and the same. God is love. And so God has been poured forth into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So our Lord Jesus delighted in the human race, and he lived among us. But now, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, he dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit, we are told, is given to lead us into all truth. But then again, we ask, what did Jesus tell us about the truth? He said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. So if the Holy Spirit is given to lead us into all truth, then the Holy Spirit is given to lead us more and more deeply into the mystery of the person of Jesus Christ. But remember, outside of heaven, there are no distinctions within the Trinity. In other words, outside of heaven, God operates according to his substance. All three persons are wherever one of them happens to be. So if the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, so is the Father and the Son, because you can't have one without the other two. What that means is that when you receive Holy Communion in just a little bit, you will receive the Holy Trinity. Indeed, you receive the body, the blood, and the soul of Jesus. That is his humanity. But we receive the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Christ. The divinity is shared equally by the three persons of the Trinity. So when you receive Holy Communion, you will receive the humanity of Jesus, and you will receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when you receive Holy Communion. And assuming that you are in the state of grace, the Holy Trinity dwells within you 24 hours a day when you are in the state of grace. That's why I said earlier, he's closer to us than we are to ourselves, because he dwells in the depths of our being. And it is there that he wants to be known and to be loved. Now again, you might look at that and say, but if God is beyond our comprehension, and indeed he is. Remember, God is both eternal and infinite. So when we talk about the eternity of God, that means no beginning and no end. We are everlasting. That is, we have a beginning, but we will not have an end. Our soul will live forever, but it began at a certain moment. The same is true of the angels. They were created. When we're talking about God, we must understand that it is this point of the Trinity that sets us apart from everyone else. The Jewish people were different from everyone on the face of the earth in that they believed there was only one God. The Muslims believe that there is only one God. We also believe that there is only one God. But we believe that that one God is three persons. Why? Because God is love. You cannot be in love with yourself. Well, I guess you can. It's called narcissism. God is not a narcissist. He's not up there being in love with himself. So the Father has to have someone to love, because if God is love, love requires a relationship. So God, the Father, loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. But the nature of love overflows everything and becomes life-giving for others. So God, being revealed as love, must be a Trinity. And the same is true, by the way, for those of you who are called to the married state. In a couple of different ways you can look at this. First of all, God himself is the one who created you to be two completely separate, unique individuals. On the day you got married, you asked God to work a miracle. You asked him to put your souls together. You can't do that by yourself. Try as you may, you cannot unite your souls. Only God can. It is a recreation. It is a new creation. And therefore, a marriage is a man, a woman, and God. Three to be married. And the life-giving aspect of marriage comes from the fact that the couple, as much as they can be in love with one another, cannot just sit there and stare at each other all the time and be totally enamored with one another. That love has to overflow and become life-giving, most often for children, but in those cases where it's not possible, that becomes life-giving in service to others. That love has to find an expression one way or the other. And so it is in God. Not only is he not a narcissist in love with himself, so too as the Father and Son love one another, that love becomes life-giving. And we have the Holy Spirit. Now, saying that, we also need to be very clear that all three persons are eternal. So it's not like God the Father was up there one day saying, you know, I'm kind of lonely. I think I should make somebody else to be with. Yeah, well, this is nice. Now we've got two of us, but really we need a third, so we should make a third. No, 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 no. The Son and the Holy Spirit are not created. The Son and the Holy Spirit are eternal. There is only one God, and he is eternal. That means, again, no beginning and no end. So all three persons have no beginning. All three persons will have no end. So if we look at that then and we say to ourselves, okay, how does this affect me? It's kind of cool to think about a marriage that way, but what about us individually? Well, what did we see today? We've already seen that the Holy Spirit is given to lead us into truth. We've already seen that the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We see already that Jesus told us that he came to give us life and give it more abundantly. You have a soul, and your soul is the principle of life. Your soul consists of a mind and a will. Your mind is made for truth, and your will is made for love. So life, truth, and love, just like the Trinity. And God doesn't want you just to have a little bit of truth and a little bit of love and a little bit of life. We're told the Holy Spirit is given to lead us into all truth. The love of God, which is infinite, is poured into our hearts. All love is there. And God is life. So the fullness of life, when Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, that is himself that he is giving. So he has given you all life, all truth, and all love. And so he wants us to delve more and more and more deeply into that mystery. And he dwells right inside of you. The fullness of truth, the fullness of love, the fullness of life is in your soul. So again, we see God is not distant from us. He's right there. And if we look at it and say, yeah, but he's beyond my ability to comprehend, absolutely, yes, he is. And as I said, he will be beyond our ability to comprehend for all eternity. God is infinite, the human mind is finite. We can't get the infinite into the finite. It can't happen. But then we might think, well, then forget it. Then I can't get it. Think of it the other way. What that means is that for all eternity, as you are looking directly into the essence of God, there will be infinitely more. There is always more truth and more love for you. What that means is that not for one split second, even though there are no seconds in heaven, but it's the only way we can understand it, not for one split second for the rest of eternity will you be bored. People get that stupid idea, oh, what am I going to do in heaven? Sit on a cloud and pluck on a harp. How boring. No, no, no. In heaven, you are looking directly into the essence of God, which means you are looking directly into truth to fill your mind. You are looking directly into love to fill your heart. You are looking directly into life to fill your whole being with truth, life, and love. That's what you are created for. And that's what God wants for you. But once again, we see how much he delights in the human race. That he isn't just simply saying, if you guys can get to heaven, here's what I have for you. He's saying, I'm doing this for you already. I will come and be with you because I delight in you, because I love you, and I want you to love me. And he's not saying that for a selfish reason, because remember, God gets nothing from our love. Zero. He is perfect. He is absolute. We can't add anything to him, but us loving him is what is best for us. That's what he wants, is what's best for us. It's what's going to fulfill us. And so he is right there within each one of us, if we're in the state of grace. And he wants us to be able to enter into this mystery and begin to delve the depths of it, to know him more, to love him more, to share more abundantly in his life. So he's right there in the Blessed Sacrament. He's right there within. So even though he is indeed an absolute mystery and infinitely beyond our ability to comprehend, he is still not far from us. He is not distant from us. In fact, he is within us. And so as we celebrate this glorious day, the patronal feast of our parish, each one of us is given this call to unite ourselves with the Holy Trinity, to go deeper in truth, to grow deeper in love, to have the fullness of life. That's what you are created for, that's what will fulfill you, and that's what God has waiting for you.